The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you, rather quickly, our panel for today. From the Department of Philosophy, Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Good to see you here, Beth. From the Department of Mathematics and a million other things, engineering, computer science, software, something, it's Professor Jeff Boats.
How you doing?
Good to have you here, Jeff. We'll hear more about your integrals derivatives thing later.
Bring the noise.
Excellent. From our AV department, it's Professor Chuck Hokett.
How you doing?
Good to see you here. I like that tie, Chuck. From the Department of Education, Professor Diane Manica.
Howdy. Good to be here.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Excellent. You're wearing a button. What is it?
I am. Brains, brains, brains.
Brains, brains, brains. We'll see if we can...
Maybe that's where they'll be. I don't know.
Or lunch.
If Zombie Beth arrives, we might have to hide our brains, but we'll try to actually exercise them here in a minute. Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you, looking prim and proper as always.
And wearing pants.
For some reason, that's funny. Yes, he is wearing pants, Professor Dave Chow, the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Jim is a pants wearer. That's what he does.
Thankfully.
Not much more
pants wearer, really. Do we need labels in this day and age?
Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies.
I think they do have to have labels, otherwise we wouldn't know how to wash them.
And last but most certainly not least, Professor Steve Abel from Psychology.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you. It is, indeed, as of this instant,
the afternoon. I'm feeling inadequate, though. We don't have students with sparklers going by in my department. Could you send some over?
Yeah, all I can tell you is in about 5 to 10 minutes, you're going to hear a very loud sound. Okay. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, folks. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or facebook.com/udmatp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. You can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Does anybody do that anymore? Not really. We have a ton of questions from our students and our faculty colleagues here at UDM for our remote show that is a few hundred feet away from where we usually tape the show.
Wow.
And we are very thankful that our production engineer and his assistant, Jonathan, were able to help us today. So
and
thank you, Michael.
And 20 degrees cooler, too.
And it's cool. It's cool. We're going to get the ambient noise of learning happening in the background at least once before the end of this show.
Or sparklers.
So, professors, I have a mix of questions from students and our colleagues here at UDM. Let's see what we can do at our wonderful live show here in the chemistry building. 10 questions for Ask the Prof from Lisa Park, who is a student at UDM. Who is the famous singer that sings the song Gangnam Style from South Korea?
Psy.
Psy is his name. That's right.
Ooh.
And I'm noticing a trend here.
Singer-dancer.
Yep, singer-dancer. That's right. Who is the newly elected president of South Korea?
Isn't it their first female president?
It is. I'm giving you credit for that one.
I don't remember her name.
Geun-hye Park. So, well done. At this point, all the questions go in a decidedly different direction than South Korea. You're going to have to think with your pun hat on to answer these. If H2O is the formula for water, what is the formula for ice?
H2 cold?
You're in the wheelhouse, is
no,
all
no,
I'm going to say.
The formula doesn't change, does it?
H2 below zero?
There's no C. There's no C.
No, technically, it's still the same, though, isn't it?
Or something.
How about H2O cubed?
That's a groaner.
So what is the name of the molecule CH2O?
Seawater?
Seawater is correct. That is correct. However, it is actually the formula for formaldehyde, and we'll hope the twain not meet. The question that perhaps Professor Maggio had gotten a quick look at while I was setting up my papers here.
I thought you were correcting your quizzes.
I don't do that much trigonometry, I'm afraid. But the question is, who is sine of B over the tangent of B?
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, that's right. It's the cosine of B, so that makes sense. Yeah. You guys are catching on here. How was the Roman Empire cut in half? It took actually a pair of things to do it.
A pair of scissors?
Pair of Caesars would be the correct answer. Ooh. Yeah, that's pretty well done there.
Yep.
Very well done. Why were the early days of history called the Dark Ages?
They weren't enlightened? Enlightenment?
Something like that.
No light bulbs?
Well, there were a lot of knights at the time. believe you guys know that one.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we gotta finish this one off before everybody just passes out here. What's the fastest way to determine the sex of a chromosome? Don't think too hard, folks.
I don't want to look.
Pull down its jeans, and then you'll be. I just read them.
You had to.
We have a question here from Professor Jacob Kagi of our biology department. Prior to Justin Verlander, who was the last Tigers' number one pick who also won an MVP? Good question.
Ron LaFleur?
Nope.
Al Kaline?
It was not Al Kaline. Number one pick who also went on to win an MVP.
Might not be for us.
No, we're talking about the Tigers here.
Who's the last?
What era?
You know, we're talking the just before the modern era. How's that? Is that
Ty Cobb?
No, it was not Ty Cobb.
I don't know. Before the modern era.
Before you were born? So it was Kirk Gibson who won the MVP.
Oh, sure.
It was the last number one pick who also won the MVP.
See, I have no confidence in my baseball.
It's okay. Oh, okay. That's right. Professor Kagi had the chance to play minor league ball and knows people who currently play in the majors. He's been to Comerica Park to taunt them since he became a professor of biology. Here's a question from Steve Dara. I'm sorry, I don't know whether it's a student or faculty, but I'll assume that it's a student because it's from the student list server. I have a question for the Ask the Professor event. Because of the rotation of the Earth, would a person weigh more on the equator or on a pole? What do you guys think?
Swinging from it.
Well, it says here you weigh about 0.5% more on the poles than you do on the equator because the Earth is not a sphere. Well, it's an oblate spheroid.
I'm not heading for the poles.
Well, I'm going to the equator then. That's it.
Okay. I got to say, this came from faculty member Mark Moylan, adjunct professor of communications. Okay. Mm-hmm. He pointed me in the direction of the website where he found this question, futilitycloset.com, a great way to use the internet to waste time. What do the following terms have in common? There's a number of them. Wonder about yourself. Provide yourself with shrewdness. Alone for a moment. Open your head. Superstitiously. Light as an egg. Moderately, I insist. A little bit warm. Very Turkish. What do all these things have in common?
Requirements to teach.
No. Are they all from Shakespeare?
They're not from Shakespeare. No, that was actually one of the things I thought about. Yeah, absolutely.
Are they from Monty Python?
No. I don't know.
They're not Christmas carols.
I don't know what kind of a... you know, where is a place where you can get direction while you're trying to do something? While you're trying to perform something?
Google?
I'm sorry. These are all musical directions given on the sheet music of a certain composer named Eric Satie. Like a nightingale with a toothache.
What?
Instead of fortissimo, we get very Turkish.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. So I will go back to the first point, and we will wonder about ourselves.
My church choir often sounds like a nightingale with a toothache.
See, there you go. There you go. It wasn't just me. All right, we have a question here. Let's see, from Richard Heidi. Name the most recent female Canadian Supreme Court justice to retire after 10 years on the bench. She's from Quebec. We'll go to our ringer in the world.
Look at me.
Dave, that's you.
What do you guys think, Dave?
I'm clueless. It's not like I follow Supreme Court nominations in Canada, so.
Why not? I thought everybody did.
Is it a hockey player's wife?
Then I don't know.
Then I'm out.
No, it says here the answer is Marie Deschamps or Deschamps. So there you go.
Thank you,
Richard. That was a good one. You know, we stumped Dave pretty good there. What do you think? We have some questions here from our colleague, also from the Department of Biology, Stokes Baker. He has an affinity for model rocketry. Model rocket motors burn solid fuel. They're described by a series of numbers and letters. A typical motor might be a B65. What does the 6 tell you? Anybody have any ideas? You can guess.
How many seconds it burns?
Not really.
Yes, but no.
Is it something about the circumference of the rocket?
No. It's the force in newtons that it gives for thrust, actually. What do you guys think about the letter B?
Wonderful shape.
I've always been fond of it.
Yeah. You got two of them in your name.
You guys are doing pretty well, actually. You know, it's the thrust times the number of seconds it will burn, which is also known as the impulse. The 5 is the number of seconds that it burns. So I'm giving that one to Professor Abel, absolutely. So thanks, Stokes, for some pretty interesting questions about model rocketry. All right, in light of seeing our own John Stoudemire on the American Experience PBS special about Henry Ford, we have something from, oh my, I should have studied these ahead of time.
Uh-oh.
Gerald Szczesny, I hope I get this right, works for the Ford Motor Company. What is Henry Ford's middle name? It appears that Gerald is a student at UDM.
Edsel?
It's not Edsel.
It's not Chevy, I hope. Oh,
it's not Chevy. Oh. I can tell you that right
Tiberius?
Now.
Tiberius?
Gerald claims he's confirmed this with the Ford Motor Archives. Henry Ford was given no and did not take any middle name, so he does not have one.
What? Trick question.
Trick question. Oh.
Zero.
We love to get them, but we hate to get them, you know, coming to us. You know, what's new? Okay, let's see. Oh, this student says, let's see here. Austin Ruffin of Clinton Township, student at UDM. I took a little study break and came up with a few trivia questions for you. What two skills make up the winter biathlon?
Cross-country skiing and shooting.
Yep, cross-country skiing and target shooting. That's absolutely correct. Which state has the highest percentage of people who would walk to work?
Alaska?
It's Alaska, is what it is.
Really?
Yes. It's the highest percentage of people who would walk to work. Absolutely.
Run from polar bears.
What is the most common non-contagious disease on the planet Earth?
Academia, right? Cancer. Oh, the common cold.
No, that's contagious. I mean,
I think of heart disease too, but I wonder, since it's genetically passed on, does
diabetes?
That mean it's contagious in the classic sense? You know, it's not diabetes. No.
Cancer.
It's not cancer. It says here it's getting a carie or a tooth decay, basically.
Oh.
Cavities.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got bacteria in their mouth. Gross. All right. Our own, I can see him in his office sitting at his desk right now. Professor Mark Benvenuto asks a simple question. Chair of the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry. Why is the sky blue? He should know it's Raleigh scattering is what the concept is, but he reports because if it was green, we wouldn't know where to stop mowing. Thank you, Mark.
And I thought it was Smurfs.
All right. Here's one, Matt. Compliments of my son. This is from Communication Studies Prof. Tom Stanton. His son, Zach, is in Washington, D.C. Who was the last comedian to chart with three consecutive number one comedy albums? See if we can name them, too.
Steve Martin.
It was not Steve Martin.
Richard Pryor.
Not Richard Pryor. He's best known for the song Camp Granada. No ideas, huh? It's Alan Sherman. My Son the Folk Singer, My Son the Celebrity, and My Son the Nut were the names of his three albums. All right, this one, I think I saw our professor of poetry in English, Mary Catherine Harrison, come in. But her daughter, Eve Sarnecki, asks, why do zippers have the initials YKK on them? A lot of zippers say YKK. I could see people studying them right now. No ideas, huh? It's not meant to give directions.
Some kind of patent code?
Getting closer. It's the English translation would be Toshiba Manufacturing Corporation or Yoshida Koigo Kabushiki Kashida, which makes 90% of the world's zippers out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
There you go. All right, we have some questions from Emily Weatherington and Susan Trudeau of University Academic Services. Some nice questions here. I think there's a theme. See if you guys pick up on it. What kind of dog did Captain Kangaroo have, and what was his name? Come on, even I grew up watching Captain Kangaroo.
I watch that all the time.
I love that show.
Collie?
There was a dog.
I don't remember
there was
a dog.
What was sheepdog?
Mm-hmm. Oh. It was a sheepdog, absolutely. Do you remember what his name was?
Shag?
Not Shag.
Turf?
Not Shag.
Hippie?
Dog?
Bongo.
His name was Bebe, for some reason. Number two, what is Mr. Green Jeans' real name? Anybody remember Mr. Green Jeans' real name? Hugh Branham. His nickname was Lumpy. That's what everybody called him. What is the gender of Casey of Mr. Dress-Up fame?
Nondescript. Left off.
Purposefully, so that every child could project him or herself onto Casey. That is exactly correct. Now, suddenly we're getting into the Mr. Dress-Up phase, and the questions are taken off here. What was the name of the dog on Mr. Dress-Up?
Finnegan.
We got a ringer. Here we go.
It's Canadian television, sorry.
Oh, well, there you go, see? What's the name of the rooster and or giraffe on The Friendly Giant? Okay, you're starting to lose me.
No.
The rooster's name also started with an R? How about
Rudolph?
Rusty?
Rusty.
And giraffe and also started with a J?
Jeffrey.
Jerome. Sorry, guys.
Of course.
I'm putting an X over that one. What was the magic word during Milky's party time?
Oh.
Come on. Really? Milky was the clown that advertised Twin Pines milk in Detroit, so the magic word was Twin Pines. What is the French language TV show featuring Susie, the bilingual mouse?
Susie, the bilingual mouse.
Come on, Professor Chow, you're Canadian.
Yeah, but I'm a prairie boy. I'm not Quebecois.
Shea Helene is what it says here.
You say so.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, recorded before a live audience at University of Detroit Mercy's Chemistry Building, newly renovated in 2012. We thank you for listening and invite you to send your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to this special edition of Ask the Professor, recorded before a live audience.
Got some questions from Jazz Mangar, student at UDM. Pretty interesting stuff here. What is the name, proper name of the dot over an I and a J called? It actually has a name.
Like a Tweedle or something?
You're never going to forget this after I tell you. A jot is way close. You know when you really like somebody and... apparently you have an affinity for Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. You might say you like the cut of their...
Jib.
Jib is what it's called.
Jib.
Even over an eye, it's called a jib. I think it'd be called an ib or something. What was the name of the first newspaper published in America?
Public Occurrences?
That is correct. We would expect a communication studies professor to know that one.
Public with a K.
Spelled here, public with a K. Very well done. Very well done. All right. We have some questions here. From UDM student, Mercedes Black. I know it's what you guys demanded, and here we go. Questions about Norse mythology.
Thor. Odin. We're done.
This is going to be really interesting. Let's see if we can guess our way through this one. That's what I overheard one of my students say the other day. When the frost giant Thrym demanded the hand of the goddess Freya in marriage, which figure in Norse mythology dressed in drag and took Freya's place... at the altar?
Thor?
It was Thor, actually. Bonus points if you remember Loki was dressed as a bridesmaid. Sure, we'll take it.
Stunning color.
Yes. What is Loki, the Norse god of mischief, said to have eaten that caused him to become pregnant?
Conies.
No.
Pork buns.
Not mistletoe. That would have been
no, actually
one.
It was...
apples?
It was something more flesh-related that he ate. It says here he ate the heart of a witch to become a so you know how that
That'll
goes.
Do it.
Happens to everybody. Let's see.
Now what, on your Kindle.
What three things did the builder of the walls of Asgard demand of the Aesir, the
down
leader,
payment?
As the payment for their work? They wanted three things.
Brains.
Not brains, not food.
Gold.
Not gold.
Skittles.
First thing he wanted was one of the goddesses. You only get one guess.
Ooh. Freya.
Freya. He demanded Freya. And two other things that should be really easy to come by.
Immortality.
The hammer.
How about cosmic bodies? He wanted the sun and the moon. That's all. Just
that's
a goddess.
All. That's what we asked for.
Sun and the moon. What was the only object that could kill Baldur, son of Odin? This is something that we traditionally don't see in its live form because I think it's been determined to be a little bit too poisonous. But around the holidays, you see it hanging. Mistletoe. Yeah, mistletoe is the answer. When Loki lost a bet with the dwarves, why did they not claim their prize of Loki's head?
The IRS was all over them?
They didn't have a good place to put it?
No. This is one of those circular logic things. He had bet his head. But the only way to remove it would also lay claim to his neck as well. And Loki had not bet his neck as well. Feel free to put that one in your back pocket, Professor Oljar. And next time you teach Philosophy 1500, if I bet you my head, but not my neck, you know. When Loki lost a bet with dwarves yet managed to retain that which he had wagered, his head, what did the dwarves do to punish him? Think about classic stereotypical shrunken heads. You see this done to them. It's kind of gross.
They hung it over the dashboard of their car.
Worn with pride.
Instead of the fuzzy dice.
That's right.
No, they sewed Loki's lips shut is what they did.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretty nasty stuff. Let's see. Nina Begehi is sitting right in front of us, part of UDM's knitting club. She's one of the three people knitting in front of us. She's come up with some questions. With hot links for the actual source of the material. Thank you very much, but I'm tapping the paper and nothing's opening, so we're going to have to follow up on these later. What city was the first in the world to build an urban freeway?
Detroit.
The Davison, if I remember
correctly. Davison Freeway.
The Urbane Freeway now at times.
Yes, that's right. Let's see here. The first jack-o'-lanterns, this would be before Irish immigration to the United States, were made of what vegetable?
Potatoes.
Turnips.
Yep.
They could be held like lanterns,
That's
I believe.
That's the best thing to do with turnips.
What are the black keys on a piano also called?
Flats and sharps.
Sharps, actually, is the master phrase. But what genre of music did famous American recording artist Katy Perry start out singing?
Christian music.
I'm sorry?
Christian rock.
It was Christian. It says gospel. Well, you know, I think you're in the wheelhouse there. I love that the, Nina, that the hot link is wikipedia.org. That'll
take Yes, the authoritative source.
Yes. What is the Iranian equivalent of New Year? What's the name of the festival?
Festival of Lights.
Not the Festival of Lights. Iranian equivalent of New Year. I'm getting a weird deja vu. Do we have, like, Iranian holidays recently? Oh. I don't know. It's Nowruz. Am I saying it right? Nowruz. She cites the source, the past 19 years of my life. What famous YouTube video has 509,675,977 hits and depicts two adorable British brothers where one mischievously bites the other one?
Charlie bit my finger.
I would like to point out that is only halfway to Gangnam Style. Only halfway to over a billion hits on YouTube. Last but not least, some good questions here. Thanks, Nina. What American city contains the first five digits of pi as its zip code?
So immediately east of here, upstate New York?
Nope.
31415 would probably be the Carolinas.
Getting close.
West Virginia?
It's Georgia.
Yay!
Okay. The question was the city, though.
Atlanta.
It's Atlanta, Georgia. We have some questions here from an instructor in chemistry and biochemistry, Andrea Metti. What does HTML stand for?
Hypertext markup language.
Wow. How about this one? It occurs once in a minute, twice in a week, and once a year. What is it?
The letter E.
The letter E is correct. Once in a minute, twice in a week, and once in a year.
Hmm.
Very nice riddle. Thank you, Andrea. All right.
There we go for percentages.
This is a set of questions from UDM student Trina Hossein. What are the three differences between a violin and a viola?
Size.
Which is bigger?
Viola's
bigger. Mm-hmm.
Number of strings.
Pitch is the second thing. Pitch and strings, I think, would go hand in hand. Viola is not as high pitched. It's a fifth lower than a
violin.
Size
of the bow?
Not the size of the bow. Think about what you're going to read to play it. Yes, that is true. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to play a viola, you need the alto clef instead of the treble clef, which you'd do if you had your violin being played. We're getting on the fly questions here from the audience. We'll go back to Trina's questions in a moment, but, you know, this came hot off the presses from UDM student Nick Stroders. Before the arcade game Mario Brothers was released, Mario appeared in another popular arcade game but was not called Mario. What was
Donkey
the game,
Kong.
And what was Mario called?
Donkey Kong.
Yeah. It was Donkey Kong was the name of the game. But what was he called in that game?
Called a plumber or something like that?
Nope. Wasn't called a plumber. It's a very, very boring name. I can do better. How about Jump Man?
Okay.
Sure. Makes perfect sense. He was jumping. And, you know, just to switch gears to the Bible. In the Bible, what prophet was made fun of for being bald by the city of the youth of a city and responded by calling down...
Elisha.
She bears out of the woods mauling 42 youth. Yeah, it was Elisha. You're right.
Ooh.
Don't want to make him mad.
Tough guy.
I think Clint is definitely out for a... I know Clint Mickey, a student in our department here, has just handwritten a question... which weapon came before the electric épée currently used in the sport of fencing? You're going to have to help me with the pronunciation once I get to the point of revealing this.
What weapon?
Yeah, what weapon, it says.
The non-electric épée?
You pronounced it right.
I call it the acoustic épée.
It was the crank épée, yeah.
I mean, modern fencing involves épée, what am I thinking?
Foil,
saber. And foil, but it's not any of those either. Starts with the letter C. Cold chimarde? Kulichimard? Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. That's hardcore.
If you say so.
That's hardcore. Clint, you win! Okay.
Here.
Let's go back to Trina's questions. What? It looks like we have some more... we have buttons to toss people. We'll get people whose questions are read in the air today some buttons. Some more music-based questions. What is rosin used for a string instrument?
To use it on the bow.
Use it on the bow, but for what reason?
To wax the string, right?
Wax the string so it doesn't squeak.
This is something very specific that it's used. You know that strings on bows are horsehair, and they're covered with tiny hooks. Rosin actually gets underneath the tiny hooks to make the friction you guys are speaking of. It's kind of interesting. That's what string instruments use to make sound. Pretty cool.
I wonder what the rosin bag's for now.
Well, there you go. How many sharps are in the key of D major?
I'm going to guess one.
There's two. But you know what? I'm giving it to you. What are the four things a drum line usually consists of in a marching band?
Snare, bass, cymbals, and tenors.
You guys got them all. One, two, three, four. Snare, tenor, bass, cymbals. Very well done. Thanks, Trina, for some great questions. Let's see. We're going over to this pile. All right. We have some questions from Alani Letang. Is that one of your students, Professor Roach?
It is.
Excellent. Great. Student here at UDM. This is sort of all over the map, and that's the way Wies likes it. How many lifeboats did the Titanic have?
120.
Not enough, yes.
Well, not enough is also
size and four Engelhart collapsibles.
We have a ringer when it comes to Titanic stuff, that is for
just
sure.
Some of it.
That's right. Dolly, born in 1996, was the first successfully cloned animal. What kind of animal was Dolly?
Sheep.
She was a sheep.
Are you my daddy?
Yes. What country fielded 1996 Olympic women's teams that won golds in basketball, soccer, and softball? 1996.
The U.S.
United States is absolutely correct. All right, we got some more questions coming from the floor here. We'll switch gears. Thomas Wakerly, a student at the University of Detroit Mercy, says, what is Neo's name when he's in the Matrix?
Thomas Anderson,
yes. Mm-hmm. Said once in three movies when the cell phone is delivered to him at work in the very first one. Oh, I like that. We know that the one guy follows him and keeps referring to him as
Mr. Anderson,
right? All right, here we go.
Agent Smith.
Let's see. Oh, my gosh. What is 111,111,111 squared?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0?
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes, that is correct. That is, well, okay. Now, if I'm going to read this, I'm going to have to find a way to actually... I can't do it at the end.
That is the biggest multiplication problem you can ever have that doesn't involve carrying a 1 at any point.
Interesting. Very interesting. Back to Alani's questions. What did the crocodile swallow in the story of Peter Pan?
Alarm clock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, an alarm clock. What decade saw names first appear on the backs of NFL jerseys? That's a good NFL
60s?
Question. It was the 60s. What disorder does Muhammad Ali develop after many, many years of boxing?
Parkinson's disease.
In which city is Hollywood actually located? Not actually a city, Hollywood.
Burbank.
Los Angeles,
that is correct. Okay, let's see. We've got some questions here from Yar Shayak.
Other communication studies.
Excellent.
On our women's basketball team.
Okay, fantastic. What Red Sox catcher's erect posture earned him the clubhouse nickname Frankenstein?
Carlton Fisk,
yeah. Does this mean we're out of time, Michael? Unbelievable. But we have 4,000 more questions to go. Well, I guess we're going to have to say goodbye. Professor Abel, Professor Roach, Professor Chow, Professor Tubbs, Professor Manica, Professor Maggio, Professor Hocus, Professor Boats, Professor Oljar. Today, Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Chemistry Building in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry in the College of Engineering and Science at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, his assistant Jonathan, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.